The Christian faith is a gift of God's grace. The Christian life is a gift of God's grace. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
Pastor Peter Bender talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And that means that our Lutheran piety is also a gift. All too often we see it as another work of the law, something that we must do. Instead, Christ meets us there with his word and spirit, and in our daily devotional life, he teaches us what it is to live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
You can meet and hear Pastor Peter Bender making the case for Lutheran piety Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
When Thomas first saw the tidings heard that day had seen the risen Lord, he doubted the disciples' word. Alleluia.
Stanza 5 of the Easter hymn, O Sons and Daughters of the King, sung by the Concordia Seminary Chorus, telling just the first part of the story of Thomas, the one that usually has garnered him that name, Doubting Thomas. Of course, by the end of the story, Thomas is confessing faith in Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Appearing to Thomas, in John chapter 20, and what follows afterwards there. John wants not only Thomas to have seen him believe, but John says he's written these things so that we might also believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing have life in his name. After our conversation with Pastor Tom Baker, we're going to be talking about Lutheran identity, our continuing series today. One of the hallmarks, really the hallmark of Lutheran identity in terms of theology, and that's the Book of Concord. And we'll also talk about work and vocation with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of the book, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. You can join us over the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or for our beloved on-demand listeners and all our listeners, there's the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus appearing to Thomas in John chapter 20, Pastor Tom Baker, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
By the end of the story, Thomas is on his knees confessing, my Lord and my God, a very bold confession of all those that are made in the gospel. Should Thomas be remembered for his confession of faith as much as for his doubt beforehand?
That's not a fair question to ask me, Thomas Baker, because I don't know if my parents named me, they saw my birth and then doubted that I was their child, so they call me Thomas. No, I don't think so. I'm going to answer the question this way. Which way would Thomas prefer to be believed? And I say he would prefer to be believed where the credit is given to Jesus. And you already mentioned what he had said, Todd. He said, my Lord and my God. I know I did not realize this until I did a study on this. This is the first time a disciple of Jesus referred to him as God. They referred to him as the Son of God, as the Messiah, even when Peter made his confession. But this is really critical. So when I remember Thomas, I remember him as having given the Holy Spirit the credit, as he does later, for giving him the insight. In fact, the same thing could have been said to Thomas as was said to Peter when he says to Jesus, thou art the Christ. And Jesus said, that didn't come out of your own mind, Peter. That was given to you by the Father. And so I believe that Thomas would much more prefer to be remembered for his confession than for his doubt. In fact, it's kind of interesting. That's what a funeral service is all about, is that when we give comfort to the mourners, we do so not on the basis of the actions so much of the person. No matter how good they were, they still confess that they were poor, miserable sinners. But we give credit to them on the basis of their faith, that they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he is God. Therefore, they worshiped him, they had faith in him, and having been baptized, heaven is for sure their home. That's what those who have died in the faith would want to be remembered by best, their faith in Jesus, and that's the way they give all credit to the Holy Trinity.
So what you're saying here is that if we were going to assign, say, blame or credit, depending on the circumstance here, Thomas's doubt is all his. I mean, he's the one who came up with that. His unbelief is the product of his skepticism. His faith, that is, which confesses my Lord and my God, Jesus gets all the credit for that coming out of Thomas's mouth.
Well said. I would remind you of John chapter 20, verse 28, when two of the disciples rush to the tomb of Jesus, and then John goes in, and he saw or sees the folded clothing, and it says, and he believed. Well, right after that, they go and hide in the upper room. Well, what does it mean, he believed? It meant he believed that Jesus had risen from the dead, but he had no understanding of why he had rose from the dead. In fact, John chapter 20, verse 28, even says that. He saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scriptures. And I think this is a point every Sunday school teacher needs to learn today from this. The task of the Sunday school teacher is not just simply to have the students learn the content of scripture, but rather to know its meaning. There are a lot of people in the world who believe Jesus died on the cross, but they are not believers because they don't understand why he died on the cross. And that is really the purpose of the Emmaus Road. Jesus took those two disciples. He could have shown himself to them, but their eyes were hid from him, it says, on that road to Emmaus. What did Jesus instead do? He began to teach them, according to the Old Testament scriptures, the reason why it was necessary for him to be crucified. This is why they were so shocked. On Good Friday, it didn't make any sense to them. They had to learn the reason, and that's the purpose of every Sunday school teacher's goal, is to share the meaning of what is happening in the true historical accounts of the Bible, such as this one with Thomas.
So let's just kind of go through the fact that we are given in one account two appearances of Jesus, not just one, but two appearances. What was the first one?
The first one was actually the night of Easter, Easter Sunday, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, and he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, and receive the Holy Spirit, and they were to forgive the sins of any. They are forgiven, but if you withhold forgiveness, they are withheld. And then immediately John writes that Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And so when he does come, Jesus isn't there anymore. The disciples tell him, that's the 10, we have seen the Lord. And then he says, nope. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, place my finger into the mark of the nails, place my hand into his side, I will never believe. And that leads us then to the second appearance of Jesus. It says 8 days later. And according to Jewish time, that also would have been on Sunday. This time, when Jesus appears, Thomas is with them. And he says, Jesus says, the same words he said back on the first night of Easter, peace be with you. And that peace just is found throughout the liturgy of the worship service, because it's not referring to, oh, we're going to have a wonderful life now, no more problems. It's talking about the peace between us and God himself. It's probably best expressed in Colossians 1, verse 19 and following. For it pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. You see, that's what the disciples were ignorant of, that the cross actually led to peace between them and the Father with the shedding of Jesus' blood. And that's why the Bible study with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus was so critical, that Jesus wanted to bring them understanding, not by obviously appearing before them and they recognized him, but by taking them through a lengthy Bible study on the Old Testament scriptures.
So that peace that he proclaims to his disciples when he miraculously appears there risen from the dead before them isn't just, hi guys, or hope you're having a nice evening. It's not a typical greeting.
Not at all. Because what does he tie it to? He says, like in Luke chapter 20, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. He breathed on them. Now, that breathing on them is very interesting, because the same language is found in Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So in Genesis, the breath of God results in a physical life. Here in John, the breath of Jesus results in a spiritual life. And we know what the peace is. He ties it immediately to the forgiveness of sins. That's why we have peace with God the Father, because by the blood of Christ, Jesus paid for the punishment that should have been mine under the curse of the law. In the day that you sin, you shall die. He dies as my substitute and then exchanges with me, taking my sin and giving me his righteousness.
So he isn't changing the subject when he talks about the forgiveness of sins. I want to take that up on the other side of the break with Pastor Tom Baker. It's sometimes seen as a non sequitur. Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then he goes on to the subject of the power to forgive or retain sins, and exactly what he does with Thomas when he meets Thomas again, and he proclaims that peace to Thomas. There is forgiveness in those words. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. Today, it's Jesus appearing to Thomas in John chapter 20. Stay tuned.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Faith in American Christianity is most often seen as an act of will. It's a desire, it's an attitude, it's a habit.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn, on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for a Lutheran view of depression.
But what happens when you have a mental illness? Whether we're talking about depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, or any number of mental illnesses, all of these mess with your brain, your ability to interact with the outside world. How does God work in that kind of circumstance?
You can meet and hear Pastor Todd Peppercorn June 9th and 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Parents, you know the church is persecuted, even when you don't feel it or see it. But how can you prepare your children for a post-Christian world where that persecution is increasingly obvious? Read the May issue of The Lutheran Witness to learn more about catechesis, persecution, and why it's your job, not your pastor's, to train your children in the faith. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer. $6.99 for 6 digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Appears to Thomas, in John chapter 20. I think what you were saying before the break, Tom, is that when Jesus pronounces this peace to the disciples, and then in this previous appearance where Thomas was not there, when he gives them his Holy Spirit and actually authorizes them to go forgive sins and retain sins, he hasn't changed the subject at all in the course of that entire interchange, has he?
And how do we know that? We know that by using the principle, the Reformation principle, Scripture interprets Scripture. Let me just give you one passage, and you'll see immediately that the peace is tied to the cross. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and following. Jesus himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. I spoke about that before. That's the curse of the law. That he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, those are Gentiles, and peace to those who were near. And taking that in regard to Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what peace? Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. And there are a multitude of verses, even in the Old Testament books and the New, that indicate that the peace that the Messiah was bringing was peace between the Father and us, that at one time was great hostility because of our sins. That hostility, that wall of hostility, has been broken down by the cross of Christ.
Is that what Thomas is depriving himself of when initially, upon hearing of Christ's appearance to the other disciples, he refuses to believe?
I would say that that's an accurate statement if one understands that he doesn't realize he's depriving himself of that because he has not figured out the crucifixion. That was the whole purpose of the Emmaus walk, to explain the meaning of the crucifixion. And when those two disciples heard that, their heart burned within them. And it even says very clearly in that passage, Luke 24, verse 27, Jesus interpreted to them the scriptures. And in verse 32, it says, our heart burned within us while he opened to us the scriptures. That's the task of the Sunday school teacher. They become Jesus to the students, not just in getting the students to know the content of the Bible, but instead also to know the meaning of why Jesus did what he did, said what he did, and fulfilled what had been prophesied in the Old Testament. And the hearts of those children will also burn within them when they are comforted, because even the devil attacks children by giving them the impression their parents don't love them at times when they're disobedient, and certainly God doesn't. But the message of the scripture is that that love never goes away.
Is there also a connection between after Jesus has said to Thomas, you have believed because you have seen me, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed, and what John then writes parenthetically in verses 30 and 31?
Yes, because what he's doing is making the big point that many of these things, many of the signs Jesus did in the presence of the disciples, but they're not written in the book. There aren't enough books to fill them all. But these are written so that you may what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that's what the Bible explains. What does it mean that he's the Christ, the Son of God? And Jesus commends Thomas, or he commends those who have not seen. The growing in Christ literature here that talks about this lesson, it says this: this week's lesson emphasized blind faith, trust in the resurrected Lord, even though we cannot see him. But you see, the Sunday school teacher, the pastor, the parents, they can bring sight not by presenting Jesus visibly, but by presenting his holy word. And therefore, even though that is a proper understanding of blind faith, it's not blind, because the Holy Spirit has given us the word to convince us of that which we do not see. And that's why we don't live by sight. We live by faith, which is trust in the promises of the gospel that restores us to everlasting life.
Will you, if just a little bit, this might be over the Sunday school kids' heads, but I think it's questions that might be raised. It says in both of those accounts that Jesus simply came and stood in their midst. Doesn't explain how it is through locked doors Jesus is physically in his risen body present among his disciples. His resurrection body seems to be quite different in its exercise of divine attributes than the one before.
I appreciate you are giving me an additional hour here on the air today to explain what's called the communication of attributes in the person of Christ. I know I'm not going to get that time, but actually, I'm seriously thinking of this becoming the Bible study at Trinity Orchard Farm this week. The communication of attributes means that after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the attributes of the divine are now shared with the human. And that means that in his humanity, Jesus now knows all things. In his humanity, he is everywhere. Remember, prior to the crucifixion, he didn't even know when the last day was going to be. And that's because he was in his state of humiliation. Just look at Philippians chapter 2, where he still had his divine attributes. He used them occasionally, but he really kind of set them aside, because as a divine attribute, he would never have felt pain. He never would have been hungry. He never would have been sleepy. And now, in his resurrected human body, he has had communicated from the divine to the individual body the attributes of the divine. And that's why this is really important when we talk about the Lord's Supper. Because there are, unfortunately, some Christians following Calvin and others who believe that the divinity and the humanity is separated after particularly the ascension, with Jesus' humanity at the right hand of God, and therefore he can't possibly have his body and blood down here on earth. But we understand the right hand of God not to be talking about a location, but that he is the right hand of God. The most important ambassador there is, he is God. And therefore, there's no problem that Jesus in his humanity says, this bread is my body, in with and under it. Similarly, the blood with the wine. So we've already seen, and it's a good thing you pointed that out, Todd, that in the meeting with Thomas, Jesus' body obviously now has taken on the attributes of the divinity, because doors, walls, etc., no longer impede him.
Finally, with about a minute here, Tom, what is the law and gospel of this Thomas account for the Sunday school kids?
The law is, how many times do we become like doubting Thomas? And somebody will say, no, I never doubt Jesus. Yes, you do. Every time something happens in your life that you're not prepared for, you might even use God's name in vain, or you'll get angry at God. That's the law, that we're still sinners and fall short of the glory of Jesus. The gospel is, as you enter into the divine worship service, which begins with, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, reminding you of your baptism, where guess what? Jesus said to you individually, peace be with you.
Pastor Tom Baker is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. And next week, Tom's going to join us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus appearing in Galilee. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, Dr. Alvin Schmidt joins us for our ongoing series on Lutheran identity today. We're going to talk about the big one, the Book of Concord, published in 1580 after quite a bit of controversy among Luther's theological descendants. And we'll also talk about work and vocation as a hallmark of Lutheran identity. Stay tuned.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Basser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here, who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as the church always has. Risen Savior, Basser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.